Welcome back, Panther fans. I'm David Brown here with Ryan Graham.
Hey, y'all.
A sick Tim Thurber.
Hello.
And this is State of Atlanta. Not feeling so hot today, huh, Tim? I didn't mean sick as in like sick in the head. Like
I feel great. Like
you feel great. You sound great.
Sick and twisted.
Exactly. Well, you got to be sick and twisted to be a Georgia State fan. You know, you can't just do this as a normal person, right?
Well, and to deal with you and me week in and week out.
Yes, Tim definitely hates his life a little bit if he's going to spend 2 hours of his week every week with us.
Sick, too. That's the worst.
And sick, too. Well, we're getting out of the second winter of Atlanta. We're heading into
fall spring. Do we have that?
Fall spring. I'm sure we'll be snowing by the by spring break next week.
No, we're past that.
I think we lucked out. No snow this year. Yeah.
It was a culture shock, though. Actually, not culture shock, but like coming off the cruise where it was like just gorgeous for 7 days, coming back and it wasn't horrible at first, and then it got back into the 40s again. I was like, no, this is not what I signed up for. And then today being just absolute garbage rain all day long was not fun. But
no, definitely not.
On the bright side of things, I found new barbecue near my office because I didn't feel like walking. Nice. And I just saw a sign, and it's this weird little room, like really it's hard to describe it any other way, with like catering stuff set up. And he just sitting there with a griddle and like reheating stuff like right there as you order it, like just throwing it on there, heating it up. It was good.
you can give a name drop at all?
Doug's North Carolina, but it was not just like a thing of vinegar.
Okay, good.
Oof. But the main menu was all turkey, was all smoked turkey. And then they have like regular barbecue stuff like on rotation as specials. So they had brisket and ribs today.
It's whatever you can find, whatever Kroger has on sale that week. Whatever
it really is weird, man. But it was good. It was solid, and the mac and cheese was like really.
You know, that's my number one complaint about barbecue restaurants is when people compliment the sides more than the food.
I was just gonna say the menu seems like inverse. The turkey brisket was good. Special.
I said the brisket was good before, but the mac and cheese was real good.
Yeah,
good brisket is phenomenal, but then like. Not good brisket is just like mundane, boring, nothing special at all.
But yeah, and I thought it was a little skimpy. He gave me like two slices. They were thick. One from the point and one from the flat though, which I was like, all right, that's kind of nice. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the good barbecue places are always the ones that are like attached to a gas station, just like some guy with his trailer out there making barbecue. Oh, yeah. That's the best barbecue you find. Anything that's like any restaurant barbecue is just going to be just not as good as what, you know, you can get in your backyard.
Yeah. So. I mean, which like to your point, it did seem a lot like maybe it's just whatever happens to be on sale at the grocery store that week. So
makes sense. Makes sense.
Making a business out of it though. Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to run a barbecue trailer stand. I just need to pay me I just need to make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah. Well,
just do two jobs. Do that while you do a second job.
At the $85 same time. A slice of brisket. All right.
How about we can charge a lot? Yeah. How about margins on barbecue are great.
You guys want to talk about Georgia State?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Can we talk about
a little bit
football spring game.
Spring game. Yeah. Coming up, where we are like a week and a half away, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks away, right? April 12th, yeah. I think it is. 4 o'clock on a Friday before some other thing that's going on for students that I'm guessing we're not invited to.
Early.
I just got the email for it. well, I got an email for it that did not say anything about students. It was just like, oh, and then go across the street and do this.
Only 1 hour, though. So just in and out for the spring game.
Hey-o.
I don't recall how long spring games have been in the past, but it's just weird. Like they're starting the spring game at 4, and this other thing starts at 5. So
it does seem short comparative to like the last years. I feel like we're there for like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
Yeah, for a good long time without like a deadline, not a time to like, all right, be out of here by then. Because obviously people are going to start leaving for the other, the students are at least are going to start leaving for the other thing.
maybe McGee can tell the students, look, you got to stay here. We're not going to open that thing until we're done with you.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I've got them on speed dial. They're not opening anything until I say to open it up.
You leave, you're going to add 20 minutes to gates.
Maybe, well, McGee's going to put on such a good show that people are not going to want to leave.
We know he's doing extra, right? So like in the press conference when they opened up spring, he was saying he's glad he had coaches, good coaching staff, because he didn't realize how much other stuff he was going to have to be working on. And lo and behold, the billboard is being used with his face on it. Finally, every other flip I noticed was spring game with Del McGee. So,
you know, so that billboard outside of Center Park Stadium, you know, we've complained all the time. People have complained, not just us, have complained about it not promoting Georgia State enough. And we're always told it's Georgia State Foundation or GSU Foundation owns that. And we can't control what they do. They do what they just take money. I'm wondering if McGee just said, hey, how do we get spring game put on the billboard over here? And they're like, oh yeah, we can do that for you. No one's ever asked before.
I believe it.
That's my feeling from the whole thing. Is he just took the time to ask the question.
We assumed we couldn't get on there, therefore we're not never on it.
Exactly.
I mean, everything I'm gathering is that he showed up and was just like, "What the hell is this program, and why is it so like weird and not working right?" And that's what he was referring to of like, look, I'm not gonna be able to do my spring practice that well, but you know, I got an OC and a DC for a reason. And like, I'm just gonna build, I'm gonna be the AD for the football program.
Run my team while I do some stuff.
It's just what it feels like. You know, I don't have any insight outside of just like that press conference and seeing a couple things and hearing a couple comments here and there, but like, that's just what it feels like.
I do feel like some of our games were on that billboard, because I would remember coming in for the game that day and seeing an ad for the game that we were about to tailgate for. So
yeah, they put it on that morning.
Yeah.
No, I think early bird special. Talking about, what was it? It was two seasons ago when we hosted UNC, first time hosting a Power Five program in our stadium, and we weren't, I may be wrong, I remember us talking about not advertising that. Like, that should be something that's advertised. A P5 program, an ACC program playing at Center Park Stadium in Atlanta. Like, that should have been something to get people hyped about. And they weren't advertising that at all. They probably hyped Rhode Island.
Well, and you know, the thing is, you know, I drove from DC down here to over the weekend, and I went right by JMU. I sent y'all a picture, but one thing I noticed was they had as much advertising as they could. So like up on this hill, there was obviously like a baseball game going on or something like that. But along the chain link fence was as much advertising as they could fit so that you could see it on the highway. It wasn't like changing material or anything, but it was JMU, JMU, JMU. Then there was also in like a hill right beside the highway where they had parked a semi trailer that had JMU on it. I mean, they're like, look, we don't have a sign, but we got this trailer. We're just going to park it so people can see it. Like, other programs are out there pushing and saying, like, this is where we are. And it's like pulling teeth to get us to do the same thing when we have an electronic billboard. So
it's expensive, man. You gotta make it? All the money back. No, it's probably not.
you already own the trailer. Just park it by the highway. It is kind of weird though how I like how close Center Park Stadium is to the interstate and the connector right there, and I thought that was great with when it was Turner Field. But like when you're driving through random Virginia, all of a sudden there's just like half of a football stadium is like staring at you. You're like, what kind of hokey? And I guess I shouldn't say hokey because
it's a little further south, man.
Different school.
What? And you cannot see it from there. But what kind of, like, you know, just football program is just like off the highway with a Waffle House next door to it. It's just, you know, I don't know.
We don't have a Waffle House next to our stadium. We should have one.
We used to have a Waffle House in our stadium. We should bring it back.
That's true. Could do that too. Yeah.
JMU Stadium is really nice.
Half of it's nice.
I mean, it's a good looking stadium. I remember the first time I drove by it when they were still FCS, and I'm just like, man, that's out of place. That is too big a stadium for an FCS team.
Apparently no, but not.
It's only half of it, right?
Okay,
it's only,
right, I can see it. Only half. I got it.
From the half that from what you see from the highway is like this really big, huge, you know, glorified high school stadium, but then the other staff is just like garbage.
It's a lot nicer than that.
I mean, I said glorified high school.
Yeah.
That is typically what all the other teams pick on. It's like half of the stadium is beautiful and the other half is like, they haven't redone it yet. So it's not.
No, did they change it? Wasn't it recently changed to that building or whatever it is? I could be wrong.
I thought they hadn't gotten to one of the two sides of their school, their stadium. Yeah.
Probably well, it makes sense because our fan base is one-sided, all delusional anyways. So
they might be delusional.
Yeah, actually, do you want to talk about Jimmy Madison right now? Because I had stuff to talk about Jimmy Madison from
that feels right.
Yeah, natural transition there. So they pissed me off by just absolutely embarrassing Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament, which really annoyed me. Because did you guys watch that game?
I watched it all the way through. They controlled it.
They came out there and they were, and I will get to bashing them in a second. I got to buff them up a little bit, but they came out there playing hot and fast. I'm like, there's no way they can continue this for an entire game. And they did. And it really annoyed me.
It did.
Pissed me off.
I will say part of it too was the officiating. The officials in that game let everything go. They were not calling fouls. And I said, look, Duke's going to be different. I doubt you're going to get to do what you're doing to Wisconsin. They're just not going to allow it.
Yeah, I was surprised with as how fast and physical that Jimmy Madison was playing that they were not getting a lot of fouls in that game, like really at all. It was, at least in the first half, nothing was happening. I was like,
they were very handsy.
I like this style of basketball. I like this full speed, full contact physical kind of basketball.
Yeah.
But they were getting away with everything. But yeah, then absolutely humiliated by Duke in the second round.
Their top player had two fouls in less than a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. He gets yanked out of the game. Their whole game changed at that point. Like, they couldn't be the team they wanted to be.
They're playing the Tom Brady of college basketball. You know, Duke's going to get taken care of entire time by the refs. I'm not going to allow those guys to get trampled on by some ugly purple team.
Amount of handsiness that they were going to allow.
Yeah. Well, so what I wanted to complain about was like that JMU fan base, Jimmy Madison fan base, of just being so arrogant and so cocky and so delusional about everything. And, you know, they thought they were going to go to the Final Four easily. And then they get handled by Duke, and they're still feeling pretty good about themselves. And as we were talking about in the group chat, is like, tomorrow they're going to lose their coach and all of their players. And how are they going to feel about that now? Sure enough, the next early that morning, the morning after the game, it was the head coach has taken the job at Vandy. And even then, they're like, oh, that's a step down from JMU. That's a step down to go to Vandy. I'm like, yeah, he was getting paid $650,000, Jimmy Madison, to live in Nowheresville, Virginia. And now the prior coach at Vandy was getting paid $3.1 million to live in one of the best cities to hang out in all of the country, in Nashville. Yeah, you take that every single time. Even if he flops in like 3 or 4 years, he's made $10 million and he's, you know.
He did well at Southern. I mean, give him credit. He got them really close to getting to the tournament, right? The 38-36 game. Like, there were, you know, and even the year that COVID shut everything down, they looked good. And
yeah.
And then he left, and he's like,
Nobody does well at Southern, all right?
Yeah, I don't like the way you phrase
well enough,
that.
Well enough. He did well enough at Southern to make them look good.
He was probably sick the whole time, you know?
He did well enough at Trash Down South to get a job somewhere else. Let's put it that way.
His water's from the creek. That's the only water they'll let him drink. When he left, here's the thing. I don't have any problems with like the coaches and the athletes. It's just the fans' arrogance is outstanding. Like, even after their coach left, they're like, oh, well, now our players will leave. I'm like, your players were leaving anyway if they're good.
Exactly.
I was like, it doesn't matter if your coach stayed, they're gonna make bank. Some school is gonna pay some amount of money, whatever it is,
you know,
60, 80, 90K to court your players to leave. They're gonna leave no matter what. Stop. Like, they just don't get it. They just don't.
It's the new way of college athletics, and it sucks. I was I got like an unprompted like diatribe from Ben today about all this kind of stuff, and I was just like, did I say something? Is there a thread on Panther Talk that was going on that I should? I don't know. He sent me this like multi-page text message today about players and NIL and all this kind of stuff, and what the new world of college athletics is like. And I, you know, and he's like saying we just have to accept this is what it's going to be, that every single season you're just restocking and reloading because players are going to leave. And how he didn't understand how people just not accept this. And I'm like, yeah, but you can accept it and also be frustrated by it.
Yeah, you know, I hate it.
Yeah. But like the whole thing about college sports was you have this guy that you'd never heard of before, who's a freshman or a sophomore, and he comes in there and it plays lights out. And you're like, oh my God, I cannot wait to see this guy develop over the next 2 or 3 years and then get drafted. And I can hear him say Georgia State University on Monday Night Football. Like, this is what I want to hear. Or, you know, playing in the NBA, whatever it is. And, you know, he's like, sorry, amigo, that's a thing of the past. And I'm like, yeah, I accept that. Still frustrating.
Oh,
I mean, like it.
Well, what I learned over the weekend is NIL is also simultaneously ruining it for the big teams too, because the lower teams have players who have stuck around because they're not good enough to get NIL. And the bigger teams have the NIL people are churning. And I'm like, that's always been a problem for the big teams, that they're churning because they're spending their older,
right.
They spend a year in NCAA and then they move on. And it's always been the case. So people are blaming the NIL on all kinds of stuff. They really just need to figure out how to make it work for them instead of complaining about it. And that's just the truth of it.
But I mean, if we were on the Panthers basketball team and you had some school reach out, slid into your DMs and said, hey, get in that portal. We got 100K for you. Are you going to get in the portal or stay at Georgia State? Or
no.
Insert any school in the SBC. Like, well, they're all leaving. They're all going to leave.
Not everyone is getting that offer. So, no. You know, the thing is even if they were, you got to make it work. Like that, this where we are right now, and it's not going to change. So you got to make it work.
There's going to be some kind of natural or unnatural equilibrium that comes to the whole thing. At some point, you know, players are going to figure out, you know, what's working and what's not working. Coaches are going to figure out what's working or what's not working. Or there'll be some school NCAA, you know, God forbid, federal law that comes down that says how this can be handled. But somehow, some way, it's going to find its kind of natural, you know, equilibrium of everything. And we just got to get that. We're in chaos mode right now, and that's just what it's going to be. But did you guys see that guy? I'm pretty sure it was an Alabama kid, football player, who went into the portal, went to like Iowa or Indiana or something for like $1 million NIL payout, and then as soon as he got paid, he entered the portal again and was back at Alabama. Like, spent like a couple of weeks gone and then was just right back in there again. So there's gonna be some strings attached to these NIL deals. They're gonna be like, you've got to actually be on the starting roster for this money to count.
I think they'll fix that.
Yeah. So stuff like that, we're not expecting players to, you know, leave, get paid, and then just immediately leave again. There's gonna be some stuff that happens. I'm surprised NIL deals did not come with strings immediately. Like, all right, well, this is only good as you're playing for us. We're not going to guarantee this money or pay this money if you're not playing with us. There's a, you know, you owe it back to us if you don't actually ever play or ever stick on the program. And maybe scholarships become more than 12-month deals. Maybe they become, you know, a guaranteed 4-year contract if you stay with the program.
I just don't think the NCAA put much thought into any of this. They're just like, here it is, NIL, go.
Well, it's not really for them to put thought into, which is what I appreciate. You know, that like they're like, look, you can make money off your name, image, and likeness. Like, we'll figure out what that looks like. You figure out what that looks like, you know?
Yeah, but that's not what's happening. It's the NIL. It's, they're not getting paid NIL money. They're not getting paid.
They're just getting
by
paid
selling
money.
T-shirts with their design on them or appearing at a car dealership signing autographs. They're getting $1 million check,
right?
And so it's which was going to happen. That was just going to happen. That's the nature.
It's already
of the beast.
Happening, just not to the extent it's happening now.
Right. It sucks, but it'll figure its way out. Something's going to happen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I mean, for head coaches, they got to get really good at finding diamonds in the rough, good talent. Because, like, if you have to reload every year and every team is brand new for the most part, you got to make the right moves. You got to recruit the right players to come to your school. Otherwise, you're going to get out. Like, I feel bad
back
for
to the delusionalness to your point, and back to the delusionalness of Jimmy Madison fans. They said that it's good that their players are now all entering the portal after the coaching change, because now you won't have players that half the team is trying to play the old way and the new team's playing the new coach's way. Now that everybody will be on the same page together. I'm like, you're idiots.
They need their entire team to get in the portal.
Yeah, they need everyone to go.
We talked about this with I think it was with Lanier, not with Hayes, about like just getting your whole new. Usually it's like 2 or 3 years before you get your team in place, and it was just like, nope, my team, 1 year, my team now. everyone here, I recruited.
Year two, all his team. Year three, all his team. Brand new teams.
yeah.
There were rumors that I know Odom's in the portal. There were rumors he was like going to go to like Europe or something and play ball, but looks like that might not be true. He's looking for a different home.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that, you know, if you have offers to go Europe, why would you enter the portal? You would just
quit,
leave school, and
maybe he's evaluating Europe money versus NAL money. I don't know.
I don't think he's getting
Europe money's got to be a lot better.
Yeah,
Europe money's got to be a lot better than NIL money.
I would think so. Yeah.
But you brought up Lanier, which is a natural transition.
Look Coach at me Lanier go. That's the second one that I've done, by the
Poor
way.
Poor Lanier.
Well done. Poor Lanier. Man, I want to get fired
and get six
get paid $6 million and the next day have the exact same job for a company in my exact same industry, you know?
Super close by, too. Not far.
Yeah, it's near, isn't it?
Yeah.
How far is that? So he was with
I guess SMU. It's all Texas, so it could be really far away.
SMU is Dallas. Where's Rice?
Houston.
There's some commuting there. But yeah, so Coach Lanier, former Georgia State basketball head coach, gone to SMU. They're moving to the ACC. They decide they've got money. They want to get an ACC quality coach. So they fire him. Pay his $6 million buyout, and a day or two later, he takes a job at Rice within the American Conference, and I'm probably equivalent money to what he had already. So basically, he's had to move houses, and he got a $6 million bonus. Like, I want that job.
It's terrible.
He did have to. He is going to have to move closer to Louisiana. So,
well, Louisiana does suck. It always draws you in.
It's true. I mean, I guess on the bright side for him, you know, his ceiling is probably the American, and he's in the American. I don't see him getting in the PE ranks.
Yeah, because he won like 20 games the first year at SMU, and then regressed in the second year with them. And I mean, SMU cares more about their athletics than Rice has. Rice is a brainy, nerdy school, and has athletics just for the outreach, the marketing aspect of the whole thing. So, but you know, Rice got money too.
Yeah,
so, that's all I got about Lanier.
I mean, you know, at some point we're gonna have to stop reporting on him.
Well,
two stops away might be it, right?
That was kind of a conversation. This is kind of a conversation on Panther Talk. Like, there's a lot of fans that have a negative feeling towards Lanier. And think that his time here was wasted time at Georgia State, or what do you guys think? What is your take on what was he 3 years? 3 years he was at Georgia State.
3 years.
What is your take on his time here?
I mean, overall, he used what Hunter left him, and when he left, he didn't leave Lanier much of it. I don't know. Lanier didn't leave us much of anything for Hayes, so.
Yeah,
I subscribe to the cupboard was bare when he left theory. I think a lot of people do, but I do know that some people, you know, he got us to the tournament the last year he was here, and then he said, "Here's my check out of here, I'm gone."
Yeah, but it's not that hard to get in the tournament in our league. You just have to beat other Sunbelt teams.
Tell Coach Hayes that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Can you call him up and let him know that that's the secret to the Sun Belt?
I mean, ask any of our previous coaches, starting with Hunter, you know, just be like, okay, hey, what's it mean to go to NCAAs here? And Hunter would just be like, all I got to do is beat the Sun Belt. Whatever, man.
It's true.
Yeah, was that last weekend in February or whatever they call it? That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah, because we're a single bid. You know, there's that's what it is. You gotta win the tournament. You don't even have to win any regular season games. You just gotta win the tournament.
You could only win the tournament. You could have zero wins in the regular season.
And what is that? Like four total wins, and you can go something like
but
that.
But you'd probably be a 16 seed in a playing game.
But I mean, wait, you're gonna be a 12 seed at best anyway. So you know,
12, whatever. 11. I mean, still a better chance to beat someone.
This conference does need to find a way to get itself into a multi-bid, and by multi I mean at least two,
just two
into the conference tournament.
Yeah, baby steps.
Conference. I don't know what that is. Part of it is just, you know, better out of conference scheduling.
We'll pay the number one team to lose in the championship game by one to the number two team, who's also really good.
No,
all you did was drop the seed of the person who wins.
I know.
No, Tim, you just exclude the regular season champion from
the tournament,
the conference tournament. So the best record.
No, then they won't get in.
I know, right?
Enjoy
your NIT time.
We had teams with the NIT, didn't we? Didn't App went to the NIT? I think they complained about the refs. Yeah.
Yeah, there was like 3 or 4 Sun Belt teams that made it into like postseason play, but like CBI, CIT stuff. I don't know.
It's kind of like NCAA, NIT, and then I don't know.
Oh, I care very little about Sun Belt teams, and probably even less about non NCAA tournament games. I've watched a lot of those games. I think I've watched more NCAA tournament games this season than I've watched in prior years. It's just been on the entire time it's on.
I noticed more comments in the chat, in the group chat. I haven't watched any of it, so
it'd have been more interesting if we were in it. That's all.
Well, yeah, honestly, if we were in it, I probably would have stopped watching had we lost, like, or whenever that would have been. Like,
had we
I
lost,
would not watch any I other I games. It. I would not watch any other games. But the upsets have been great, and kind of another natural transition. SEC commish comes out saying he wants to keep the automatic bids to the mid majors, low majors, like out of the NCAA tournament, and then the SEC goes in there and has their teams get upset by Oakland, which is not even in California.
I just look at that kind of comment and I'm like, you're an idiot and you don't understand March Madness, because like the whole point is that you have these like really, what do you call them, high seeds or low seeds? They're low seeds, but they're higher numbers, right?
Right.
You get these Cinderella stories. That's like the whole excitement around it. That's the only reason people whose teams aren't in it are paying attention, is to see this stuff happen. So it's like you make that go away, it's not as interesting.
He's got to say those things, though, for the SEC. Like, they have so many teams, they're going to add potentially more teams.
He's mad they lost, you know?
He said that before they lost.
Oh.
Before they lost. They just want more money. That's it. He wants to ensure more of their teams get into the tournament.
Yeah, but it's short-sighted because the reason they make so much money is because they've got a lot of eyeballs. If they get fewer eyeballs because it's a less fun product, then he won't get paid as much.
He's clouded by all the college football playoff football talk about getting more SEC teams in there. And football, you just cannot compare college football playoff to NCAA March Madness. They're two different beasts. Teams are different.
I think you can let in the G5 teams that never had a chance to prove themselves, and maybe they have a good team. They probably won't, but like that one year that they do will be insane.
Yeah, but the 68th team in college football knocking off the number one team in college football, that likelihood, like,
is just
so far off. So
I'm not talking about letting all the teams in like they do for March Madness, but like,
right,
you know, letting in more than 12 is what he wants, probably.
I still think that all conference champions should be allowed into the college football playoff.
Yeah.
You should put them all. And with conferences dying the way they are now, it's only going to be like 6 conferences here in the next year or two, right?
They'll all merge anyway. So
yeah. So yeah, because like the Pac-12 is gone. Yeah. Who knows what's happened to ACC? Conference USA is probably all going to move to FCS because they all suck anyways. So you're dropping conferences. MAC may just end up doing its own thing, like Ivy League, not paying attention to anybody else. No one knows who the MAC teams are either. So
yeah, I think it was Tom Izzo also made that comment about wanting the auto bids looked at because it takes away from the overall body of work and stronger like teams that could have made the tournament that aren't auto bids. Like, I don't know. I love the tournament because of the chaos. It's so fun to watch lower seed beat a P5 seed.
So what he was saying is like a lower ranked auto bid is taking like the place of a higher rank. I know, right? So that's who I thought you guys were talking about, by the way, because I don't know who the commissioner of SEC is at this point. I saw that Izzo thing, but
you did? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know who that is, but Tom Izzo?
Yeah.
All right. Michigan State head coach.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, Michigan State, that's your first problem. So
they beat Mississippi State, an SEC team.
Oh, wow.
Jamie beat them. The purple people did it.
Screw those guys.
Yeah.
I don't like those guys. Anyhow.
Yeah, he's like, oh, they shouldn't be allowed in there. Like, well, maybe you should beat them instead of complaining. Just saying.
I thought the craziest stat from the tournament was the one on Kentucky. They're 1-3 or 1-4. Look, now.
Tim, I don't like your attitude.
It's 1-5. Okay?
I don't know why you got to bring things like that up. And me and David both picking them to win the whole thing.
You guys believe in them, man. You just believe in bourbon. That's the thing.
I was just looking at stats, man. Like, I didn't look at Kentucky bourbon. I picked like my three or four stats that I was like, okay, these are my stats and these are what I'm gonna live and die on. And turns out I died this year.
I did three brackets, all three different host sites, and I used whatever the stats were, the little metrics they used for all different sites was how I used to kind of like
Kentucky's amazing.
And the only thing, so I had in one bracket, I've got, I think I have UConn. Another bracket, I've got Arizona. And then in the state of Atlanta bracket, I had Kentucky for some reason. And
I'm never picking Kentucky again.
Thanks. As long as Calipari's coaching, I'm not picking him ever again. If I remember that,
next year we're going to be like, Kentucky, they're good, right?
The same color as Georgia State. All right, let's do it.
He's got a really large buyout. Like they can't get rid of him.
$33 million.
Yeah, they want him gone. I mean,
what, is he not good? I thought he was like famous for being good.
So his style of coaching was capitalizing on the one and dones, the guys that go into college basketball for 1 year and then they get drafted into the NBA. Right. Like that's which now is in the transfer portal era where you're getting guys that have been playing in the league for a couple of years and you kind of bring all those into one. That maturity, like they were saying, like, so Kentucky, those players are going to have incredibly successful NBA careers, but they were all 18, 19 year old guys. So they didn't have the maturity and the endurance yet of some of the basketball IQ as some of the other guys that will.
That was always true though.
Play in this tournament and then be gone. So no, it's the collection of being able to, through the transfer portal and everything, being able to get a collection of these guys.
He's just not that good anymore.
He's a John Keller Perry lover, aren't you?
No. I just said he's not that good anymore. People want to blame externalities, but like there's no difference there, right? It was always the one and done. He always had the low basketball IQ players, right? I mean, I think that's a rude way to say it.
That's my terminology, not what that's
basically what they were saying, though. And it's like that's always been the case, though, right? Like
the talent on the Calipari teams was enough to overcome other teams, you know, mismatch of talent and skill and IQ and physical abilities and stuff. Yeah. So,
but that's not changed. They're just blaming some new mechanism for something that, and they're saying that the status hasn't changed. Whatever.
Hey, Oderf.
And they can't get rid of them.
I'm just sick of people blaming NIL and transfer portal on stuff. I'm just like, just live with it, man. Like quit saying that you suck because of it and like figure out a way to not suck.
Oh, so you want
people everyone has the same rules.
You want people on the internet to stop complaining about things, Ryan? Okay.
not going to happen.
It just doesn't make sense. Some of these complaints is also what I'm saying.
Okay. Again, the internet, Ryan.
Well, you know what, though? But when it's head coaches for whatever saying that, then it's not just the internet. It's people who are actually in it. And then they're just like, oh, it's not my fault. But yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. So who are you guys rooting for now that Kentucky's out?
Either Arizona or UConn, because it's my other two brackets.
All right. Well, how about in the state of Atlanta bracket?
I have Bama in the final, and I think they're still in it, right?
Yeah, they're still in. Yeah.
And I had
one of the two SEC teams that actually won a game.
Arizona?
Won a couple games.
Are they out?
I mean, there's really no Cinderellas left unless you count NC State as an 11 seed. They're the lowest seed. Everything else is six or higher.
Did you see there was like somebody put out a ranking of the best head coaches in basketball that are left in the NCAA tournament, and they had the NC State coach as the 16th coach, whatever. And like, all right, yeah, the guy that won five games in the ACC tournament to win the tournament and has now won two games in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, he's obviously the worst coach.
It's terrible.
But the seeds are crazy, though, if you look at it, because I think the NC State was like an 11 seed or something, and everybody else is left. It's like 1 through 3.
1 through 6 left. Is all that's left. Yeah. So it's either you cheer for NC State or Gonzaga and you pretend that they're a mid-major, even though they're not.
I'm okay with NC State. I got a buddy of mine who went there. He's coming in town this weekend. So I'm okay with NC State doing well.
I like NC State.
Yeah, it's a pretty.
Like they have a cool little
legit top seed
Wolfpack thing they do.
For life.
For this thing.
Little hand signal.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do.
It's NWO. Yeah. Woo.
With this? They do this?
What?
A lot of like, was it? Is that
you see that tobacco,
the Tobacco it Road does. With UNC, Duke, and NC State? I'd definitely take NC State over the other two of those.
Oh, yeah.
Raleigh's a fun town.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I don't know. My buddy lives there now, and he's not a fan. He's moving. He hates it.
He doesn't like it.
He's from there, went to college there, and he's like, nope. I got to get out of this place. This place sucks.
Oh,
I liked it when I visited, but I did. Yeah. You know, you go, and I stayed near the airport, right in the middle of Durham, Raleigh, and Chapel Hill. So I visited all of them. Chapel Hill's really cool, but it's like smaller. It's a smaller little. You know, town. So,
you know, my buddy T-Wiz is what I'm talking about, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Not a natural transition, but how about the Bus Slot Boys?
We are amazing.
Can you tell me about them? Because I haven't been paying attention.
First place in the Sun Belt standings, tied with Lafayette. So. Yeah. No, they had
so NIL and transfer portal isn't affecting us then. We're not going to.
No.
But it's affecting them, maybe. Maybe it's affecting the other teams, and that's why we're doing so well.
Teams want to play at rustic stadiums that are in need of renovation, and that's why we're doing so well.
Yeah, I guess that's what. I don't know. I think that. Was it Coach Strom? Coach Strom?
Stromdahl.
Stromdahl. I don't know. Him and Freddie both found a way to bring in some talented players that want to play at Panthersville for some way. I don't know what's going on over there, but they're doing pretty well. We'll see how it goes. They do have ninth inning woes. You know, the Tech game, and then immediately following the Tech game, we had that 3-game series with Monroe last weekend, and we were up 10-9. Going into the top of the ninth, we gave up 4 runs. They win 13-10. Yeah. We couldn't respond. But then ended up winning the second half of the doubleheader and blew them out. What was it? It's like 13-4 in the second half of that game or second half of that day. And then 11-3 the next day. So beat the snot out of Monroe.
I didn't know they had run rules in college baseball. Did you know that?
Run rules?
Yeah, like a mercy rule.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
We've hit it a couple times in the past couple of years.
We talked about it. There was like something the two coaches have to establish that they're going to enforce the run rule going into the game before it's like in progress or something. I don't know.
That's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird.
I'd be like, no, just beat us into the ground. We want to see how high you can get.
I think the SEC has something like that too. It's already enforced or something. But yeah, we're hosting Jimmy Madison this week on like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule, which is kind of different because we have no Tuesday night game. I just want to beat Jimmy Madison at something so bad. I want us to win.
This
series.
Look, there's a lot of sports left to play over the years.
They're terrible at baseball, right? No.
They're not terrible. They actually have a better overall record than we do, but not as good of a conference record that we do. So they're down there like ninth or something in conference. Yeah. We're tied for first with the Lafayette kids.
They have a pretty high RPI. They're in the top 30. I think we're in the top 65, which is pretty
something
good
like
for
that.
Us.
Yeah.
Honestly, like we're not for that high. So if we can keep winning, we could steal two or three here. That'd be amazing for like the next series.
If we could have held on to that Tech game and then beaten Monroe again, I think we'd be doing a lot better.
That Tech game, man. That's the one you turned on, isn't it?
Yeah, put it on when we were up and just piss it all away. It's my fault. There's a spider that's dangling from my... That killed it. All right.
Enough about baseball. Let's talk about spiders.
No. I am a big fan of Spider-Man.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Anyhow, whatever. The Sun Belt Conference in some new ranking is like the fourth or fifth best conference for baseball. I guess we're a baseball conference.
I think we've been a long time. So
sadly, Coastal like inflates our conference standings because people remember them winning the World Series. A couple of years, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Before they were
How long have they been in the conference?
Not that long. Yeah, I think that was like the year before they joined.
It was the last season before they ended up joining. So it was like we knew they were joining the conference at the end of that. I don't like those guys either. They suck.
Yeah, but I think South Alabama has been traditionally pretty good. I think there's a couple. I think Monroe actually is decent.
I think
don't quote me on this stuff. It's just like things that sound right.
South Alabama is good. You're right. Yeah, not this year so far,
traditionally they've been pretty good at baseball. Yeah,
Trash is usually pretty good. Southern Miss is good.
Trash is trash this year. They're garbage.
They're not happy. Although
they're always trash, even when they're good at baseball.
Yes,
they did pull it out against Southern Miss?
Oh God. Yeah, they didn't get arrested.
I guarantee you they're not pulling anything out down there in Statesboro.
they leave it in, let it ride.
let PBR do its work.
I guess the Southern Miss fans were talking a bunch of trash because they beat them in one or two of the games, and then Southern beat them in the remainder. So screw those guys. Don't like that we're in first, I can tell you that much. They hate it.
Well, so we have this Jimmy Madison series, which is huge this weekend. And then we actually do play at Georgia, who beat us 15-0 earlier this year. And then we're at Statesboro the following weekend for baseball.
Pivotal series right there.
Traveling all around Georgia.
We should just go full on, just like full contact, let every player get injured. And just, every time you're running to the bay, if you get walked, just run full speed and like take out the first baseman.
Can you do that?
That's very poor sportsmanship. Don't do that. But I would love it.
Well, I was gonna say, we don't watch it for the good sportsmanship.
If they did it to us, I would be condemning them for being horrible people, but I actively want to see us do it to them.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There you go. But we're a beach volleyball school. Did you hear that?
We need to invest funds into it.
The ladies.
All we do is win.
Don't give up any points. We kicked ass this past weekend. There was a Sunbelt midseason tournament in Huntsville this past weekend, and we won all four teams we played, beat them 5-0, did not give up a single set to anybody. And that's what these ladies have been doing though. They play, to their competition, and they beat the teams that are not ranked, not as good as them. And they end up losing to the ones that are better. But, Yeah, they kicked ass. I mean, I think because they'd come out of that other tournament out in California where they, you know, they lost all four matches, but yeah. The teams are all ranked, you know, 1 through 10 higher than they rank.
Maybe whoever their committee is that's ranking these teams just needs to like give a course to the football people, basketball people, you know, just be like, hey, look, this is how you rank people.
Maybe they can work on
like, yeah, but like, what about the team that we like the most? Like, you can't do that. You can't do that.
How many, like, how many?
Well, there is some other ranking because we were 15. We were ranked nationally 15.
All right.
And then we went to California and we lost all four games. We came out of that still ranked 15. Now we went to Huntsville and we beat all four teams 5-0. And we're still ranked 15. Like, our ranking is.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And I have checked. There are teams that are moving. Yeah. There are teams that are moving in the rankings, but we are just staying steady at 15. That's just where we are.
They've got us figured out. They know we're 15.
So we got a. I think they're off this weekend, and then they're hosting a tournament the following weekend. I don't know. And they got LSU, who is ranked number 10.
Uh-oh.
So that'll be a test. And then they got the Florida Gulf Coast, who's receiving votes. That should be a win. And Stetson, who is not doing not anything. But they're top, Georgia State top in beach volleyball in the Sun Belt standings. They 6-0 in conference. Perfect record in conference. So as to be expected.
I'll take it.
Andy Panthers kicking ass, taking names. I like it. It's just so weird that you have a downtown Atlanta school that would be the best sport would be beach volleyball.
We should just sink all our money into it and win the whole damn national championship.
That'd be great. I love it.
Put money into it until we win it and then pull the money back out. We got what we wanted.
Tim, what's with you and pulling out?
Pulling out. I don't know. keep it in.
You're the only one here without kids, so maybe you're onto something.
Yeah, maybe you know what you're doing better than we do.
There's probably no other variable that has anything to do with it.
I can't think of one.
Zero. Absolutely zero.
All right. Hey, but we're right there at that 47-minute mark, guys. How about you want to call this one a night?
Yeah,
let's move to the last call action. Talk about the most hated teams in all of college football or college sports.
I still don't understand how JMU wasn't in there, but yeah, we'll talk about it last call.
Oh,
all right.
Giving it up.
Giving it up, pulling it out, man. There we go.
Leaving it in.
You want to do the? You want to do the outro there, Tim?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. Consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/stateofatlanta, where you'll get early and live streaming access to Last Call, our awesome private group chats, late night, early mornings. It's nonstop, 24/7. Discounts on amazing merch. You should definitely check out the store if you've never looked at all. I think it's stateofatlanta.com merch or merch.stateofatlanta.com. David, correct me.
Merch.stateofatlanta.com or shop.
He has no idea what you're saying. He's just like in on this thumbs up and fireworks thing.
If I do two thumbs up, I get fireworks.
And free booze at our tailgates. It's just $5 a month or 10 or 15, depending on what you want to give us. So join now.
This is the longest outro we've had.
I know.
Killed it. You killed it when it was you and Ryan.
I don't know.
I love it. I will blame the under the weather feeling. But thanks everybody for listening. Thanks Tim for doing that. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Peace.
That's it for us this week. Thank you for listening. Please follow us on Twitter @StateofAtlanta or on Facebook at facebook.com/stateofatlanta. And if you enjoy what you're listening to, please rate and review us on your podcast app. Thank you very much, and go Panthers.